Blog Talk Radio.
Got my walking shoes on. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I'm walking down this lonely road. But at least the scenery is beautiful. And no matter what I do, I can't stop walking, no. I know it's the only way to go. And if I keep walking, I'ma be okay, It's not always about knowing why. Sometimes it's all about knowing what. And that's enough to keep you walking every day. Yeah, I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see you walking up. Always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep on walking up. Walking shoes, hey. I tell you when you got a made up mind. Even the winter feels like summertime, In the night to see the light of day. Cause I've been blind for way too long, and you can't take my light away. Even though all my times are happy times, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace, so knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way up. Said I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen.
Step three, step one, step two, step three.
Walk in shoes.
Thy words the light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. These shoes, my shoes.
Walk in shoes, walk in shoes.
Walk into a promise. Walk into a better land.
Said I believe.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be unto your precious name, O Yah. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of life, health, and strength this day. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us, Father. Thank you for being our good. Father, as we continue on this journey of life, Father, just ask, Father, that you keep us hedged up, Father, that you keep us upon your shoulders, Father. As a good father does with all of his children at some point, Father, and that you walk with us on this journey, Father, that you keep us in the way, Father, that you hedge us up, Father, that you protect us, protect our minds, protect our bodies, and protect our souls from the adversary, Father, from the opponent, Father. On this Shabbat day, Father, this beautiful Shabbat day, this shiny Shabbat day, Father, we welcome you into our hearts, Father. We welcome you into our minds, Father. We welcome you into our beings, Father. And we ask, Father, that the spirit of light, the spirit of light of life, the spirit of light of your son Yahushua, Father, pours out from us, Father, to all that come across us, Father. Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters that are ailing. I spoke with my brother D.U.L. last night, and he was in a lot of pain, Father. I just pray that you ease his pain, Father, so that way he can be that vessel, Father, that he always is to bring forth your word mightily. I pray for all the brothers and sisters who, Father, I may not know directly that they are feeling any type of ailment, Father, that on this Shabbat day that you release them from that burden, Father, that you bind up their wounds, Father, and that you heal the brokenhearted, Father. Father, walk with us. Journey with us, Father. Continue to be that cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, Father. Father, be the all that we need you to be in every moment of our life, Father. We ask these things in the name of thy son, Yahushua, Father, who you sent to redeem us, Father, from this world, Father, who you sent to save us, Father, to be our salvation, Father. We cry out to you in the name of your son, Yahushua, Father. Amen. Baruch atah Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen, amen, amen. Shabbat shalom, mishpachah, and I hope we don't have the technical difficulties that we had last time. So before I get started, would one of my brothers or my sisters be so kind as to just give me a sign that things are coming through? Hallelujah. Todah, my brother Mara Allah. I appreciate you, Aki. So Shabbat shalom, family. This is your brother Ahab L. with Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland, USA. Todah Aki. And welcome once again to Study to Show Thyself Approved unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this is the fifth installment of my six-week series. And Abba took me on a different track. Had a challenging week, but very challenging week, you know, at my workplace with different things. It's so funny that Yahweh has a way of admonishing you through your very own teachings. And, you know, one of the things that I have mentioned about the workplace and not worrying about the things at the workplace, but something was thrown my way and it caused me to worry about not my job per se, but this additional responsibility that has been thrown upon me. got into my angry employee mode. I went from being a company man to being the not so pleased company man. And, you know, I let my, over the past coming months and weeks, I, you know, I was letting my voice be heard, and I was letting it go. And then it came to a point where I was like, you know what? Nah, this is getting ridiculous, you know? And I was talking to Abba about it, and was like, come on now, you know, even crying out to Abba, like, man, what are these people trying to do down here? You know, it's like, that's crazy. It was just crazy. And, you know, I got in my head, got in my feelings, and then Yahweh placed a song in my head, as well as the words that I had spoken about, you know, the workplace, and it came back to home. But he put a song in my head, and it was something I heard from visiting another brother not too long ago. I can't remember how long ago, but it was, Yah is so good. Yah is so good. Yah is so good. Bless his holy name, holy name. And I will bless Yahweh, all my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And it just kept playing over and over and over in my mind. And it kind of diverted me off the track that I thought Abba wanted me to be on, with the teachings and going forward with, you know, the series that he had given me in regards to, you know, judgment. And Yahweh said, no, we take a pause from judgment. I want you to get your mind off of that. I want you to divert and go in a different direction and stop focusing on so much of what we have done in the past to upset me and remind everybody of what I am to them. I want you to bear in mind what I have been to you through your ups, through your downs, through your peaks, through your valleys, you know, when you have gone to the left, when you have gone to the right, how I have diverted you back onto a right track. And my mind started coming back, my good mind, because I was in my bad mind, you know. My brother ran into my brother Marrell, and he reminded me of an incident. He said, we heard Brother Sean, we ain't here. And I was like, oh, dang, brother. You know, I thought I had put him in a box somewhere up in the closet, tucked him away, but I guess sometimes he do come out. And he was coming out this week at work. He sure was, until Yahweh reminded me, you know, of why sometimes you are placed in a particular position. And it's not just necessarily for the sake of you, for you, but sometimes it's for the purpose of blessing another person, another brother, another sister. And when I looked at it from that perspective, it was like, wait a minute, you're absolutely right. All that this that they have thrown upon me was able to create an opportunity to create a door for a loved one of mine. And I was like, wow, Abba, now that you put it in that perspective, all this foolishness that they have been putting me through and why I've been crying out to you and telling them, you know, put it back on the people who messed it up. Why is it being put on me to clean it up once they had messed it up? And I mean, when I say tore it up, just to give you all a little background information on it. We were struggling with something at my place of work. I was part of a committee to help get this thing right, painstaking work, creating a policy that was adopted by the institution now with 1 and 2 and 3 and 1A and 1B and 1-2 and, you know, and all this sort of stuff. Very robust piece of work that a lot of brain power went into it with me and my directors and the vice president who was overseeing this committee that I was on. And it was like, well, daggone, we did all this work for a new regime to come in, a new senior vice president, a new director, and new people who didn't see the vision as it was from the old administration and wanted to implement their own thing. And then they started, you know, breaking up groups and realigning, you know, leadership and people and reporting structure and all that sort of stuff. And I was caught up in all the middle of that because I was comfortable. And it got upsetting to me because it was like, wow, in my mind, how dare they? How dare you? How dare you undo all this stuff that a group of us got together and done for the betterment of the whole and just basically just ball it up, took the piece of paper, took the policy, balled it up after it'd been adopted and signed off and ratified and just threw it away, threw it in the trash. But Yahweh said, no, I had a, and it's so crazy because Yahweh apparently had a plan set in place in order for a door to be opened almost 2 years ago at this point. And once the reality of it hit me, it was like, wow, hallelujah, hallelujah. And after speaking with the brother and what has been done to him, it was like, wow. And I was like, Abba, you are so good. Good in ways sometimes we don't even imagine. And not just for our good, but for all of our good. And when I say our good, talking about you, the individual, that's not just sometimes about me. And when I say me, I don't just mean me. I mean you as the individual. And we don't sometimes see the bigger picture of what Yahweh is trying to develop within us, around us, for the betterment of not just us, but those who we come across sometimes. And it's difficult to see it when you're in the middle of it. But then sometimes what Yahweh has to do is take you out of it, take you out of yourself, take you out of your head, take you out of your thoughts, take you out of your feelings, set you aside, and have you look at it from the perspective that he is looking at it from, a higher perspective, a perspective of where you see it through his eyes. And then once he opens your eyes up so that you can see it through his eyes, then it's like, oh, wow, Abba. And then you feel ashamed. You feel bad, or at least I felt bad, because now it's like, wow, Abba, I put you through all of this, worrying you and pushing back and going through all this back and forth with you, so that way now I feel ashamed. I feel bad. But he was like, no, that's okay. You just ain't see it. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts from your thoughts and my ways from your ways. And sometimes when I'm laying a groundwork for you, just walk on that path. Don't question it. Just follow. Follow the cloud. And if the cloud stops, and he says sometimes that cloud stopped for 2 whole years. But we don't get all the gory details of when the cloud stopped for 2 years. And the fire, the pillar of fire, stopped along for 2 years. We don't get all the details, all the ins and outs. But when it stops, and when it's time to pick it back up after the 2 years, then we start hearing about the next step in that journey. I never forget what my brother Shabal taught me, helped me to understand about the Exodus, the quote-unquote Exodus, when Abba saved us from Egyptian bondage, that it just didn't happen like that, and that he didn't just take us one way, the direct way. He had to stop us along the way because he knew that there would be perils and that there would be dangers along the way that we weren't prepared for. Because the enemy knew the wilderness a little bit better than we did, because all we knew was bondage in Egypt. So we may know where 1st Street, 2nd Street, 3rd Street, 4th Street was in Egypt, but now once we got out into the wilderness, we didn't know where them hidden pathways were. We didn't know which valleys to walk through. We didn't know which mountains to climb over. We didn't know which way through a path of trees might be the safest way to protect us from danger. But you know who did? The one who was leading and guiding us, our Heavenly Father, our Mighty One, Yahweh. It was my brother, Yahweh Elohim. He knew which way to guide us. He knew which way to lead us for our own safety, for our own good. Why? Because Yahweh is good, family. And sometimes it's hard to see it when you're in the midst of it. Just like for Brother Joseph, it was hard for him to see it when he was in the midst of it, being in prison, being in bondage, being subjugated, being taken from his family. But it wasn't until the very end he realized why he had to go through all that turmoil in his life. And it was for the betterment of the whole. One out of the 12. One out of those 12 had to go through some hardship so that not only the 12, the 11 plus him would receive a blessing, but then as a result of it, two things were added to the nation of Yisrael. Because as a result, we got Ephraim and we got Manasseh out of all that he had gone through. So if you're going through anything in your life, and I'm just giving up a little testimony, if you're going through anything in your life, any hardship in your life, trust the process. Trust what Yahweh is doing. Even if you can't see it nor understand it, because you're in the midst of it, trust him. Lean not upon thine own understanding, but acknowledge Yahweh in all thy ways, and he will direct your paths. That's a 50 maxim. So we learn in the Proverbs. Don't trust what your eyes are seeing. Don't sometimes trust what your ears are hearing. Don't always think it's going to go according to how you want it to go. But if you are a believer, it says all things work for good for those that love Yahweh and are called according to his purpose. And if we are a vessel of his, if we are a tool of his, then guess what? Anybody who has a toolbox knows that there are times when that toolbox may sit for months, for weeks, months, years before you go in there and pull anything out. But when you need the hammer in order to hammer something, for instance, we just came out of Sukkah, right? How many of us after Sukkah is over actually go in and use any of the items from Sukkah? I mean, the items that we actually need, the tent pegs, the tarps or any of that stuff. How many of us after we pack it up at the end of the season actually go back and utilize any of it that is specifically for that time? Well, the same thing. I don't really use a mallet that I use to bang in them tent pegs any other time unless there's a specific occasion where I may need it, which is far and few. So amongst all the tools that you have, how often do you go in and use them? Unless that is your trade. That's how you make your money, or that's what you do for a living. But if not, when you need it, though, you need it. And you expect it to work and perform the task that you need it to perform. You need it to be that tool that's available to you when you need it. And so are we with Yahweh. When it's time for him to utilize us, are we ready and available to be in the master craftsman's hands in order to fulfill his vision, in order to fulfill his purpose, in order to fulfill what task it is, what vision he has for not just our life, but for the lives of the collective? Again, sorry, y'all, I get to yammering. My apologies for that. But just sharing with y'all, excuse me, what I had to go through. And trust me, that's brief, because again, it's been going on for a number of years, at least two, but it's all coming to fruition now. It's all coming to a head now. It's all the light at the end of the tunnel is starting to be visible, and it's like, oh, got you now, Abba, I got you. This is why I thought you weren't hearing my prayer. This is why I thought you were punishing me. This is why I thought you were rejecting my prayers. But it was for a greater good, a greater purpose. And hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So I'm going to start off with Jeremiah 33:11. And I'm going to ask y'all to walk this journey with me that Abba took me on through the word, because he told me, for the times that I have been good to Yisrael. Look for the times that I have been good to you. And engrave this on your heart. So the next time you go through something like this, you're not all tore up about it. So Jeremiah 33:11 reads, "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who say, give thanks to Yahweh of armies, for Yahweh is good, for his loving kindness endures forever, who brings thanksgiving into Yahweh's house. For I will cause the captivity of the land to be reversed as at the first, says Yahweh." So when you go in and, you know, if you have the time, read the entire chapter with leading up to this. You know, Jeremiah was the prophet that was prophesying what was surely to come to Yisrael because of their sins. But even in the midst of him prophesying all this gloom and doom, because he was the prophet, the pre-Babylonian, one of the pre-Babylonian captivity prophets. He was the one that was prophesying that Nebuchadnezzar was sure to come and Babylon was sure to be, we were sure to be enslaved for 70 years to the Babylonians, which again, as we talked about a little bit about last week, we have never fully escaped the Babylonian captivity. Because when you look at that whole image, it's letting us know this whole system is that same Babylonian system. And all of the things that they employed against Daniel, Mishael, Ananiah, and Azariah are the same things that they are employing against us today. It's no different. No different. You know, I think it was Khalid Muhammad. They robbed us of our religion, our culture, our God. And even some of us, by the way we act, we lost our religion, our culture, our God. And even some of us, by the way we act, we even lost our minds. And you can see that. You can see that that still exists. And when you go through the book of Daniel, I know we were supposed to talk about it today, but we're going to talk about the goodness of Yahweh today. That's exactly what was done to us in Babylon, even more so than in Egypt. Because even while we were in Egypt, we knew we were Hebrews. They didn't strip us of that. They detested us, but we still knew that we were Hebrews while we were in that Egyptian captivity. But now in the Babylonian captivity, and what made it so different and so unique, we saw that they slowly but surely stripped us of everything. The first thing that they did when they got the brightest of the bright from the tribe of Judah. And this is all in the first chapter of Daniel. They got the brightest of the bright. And once they got the brightest of the bright out, then they slowly, they first put them with eunuchs. The brightest of the bright. They first put them amongst eunuchs, put eunuchs in charge of them. Emasculated men. And then after that, they changed their name. Then after that, they brought them into the system of the Babylonians, which had been a fully fledged out system from the time Nimrod, who founded Babylon, who founded Shinar, that they it didn't disappear. Shinar / Babylon never disappeared off the face of the earth, but it wasn't relevant in our history until Yahweh raised the Babylonians up and Nebuchadnezzar to put us under captivity underneath them for our sins. And then by virtue of Nebuchadnezzar's dream showing that one body, we're still, why is it in Revelations? It's called Babylon mystery. Because we're still, it's not Egyptian mystery, because we're still under that Babylonian system. But not to get off into that. Again, Jeremiah 33:11 reads, "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who say, give thanks to Yahweh of armies, for Yahweh is good, for his loving kindness endures forever, who bring thanksgiving into Yahweh's house. For I will cause the captivity of the land to be reversed at the first, as at the first, says Yahweh." And again, now, journey with me, family. We're going to go through a whole bunch of scriptures, okay? And all of these scriptures are the different things in which we are told to give thanks to Yahweh. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Why am I tapping over here? 1 Chronicles 16:34. Right? Yeah, 16:34. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. For his loving kindness endures forever. What's that song that we sing? Kile olam kasdo. Kile olam kasdo. Kile olam kasdo. Kile olam kasdo. And let's not forget that. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness, his mercy endures forever. 1 Chronicles 19:13, family. Again, you know, I'm just going through some scriptures on the journey that Yahweh said, look up the times, look up where it says, I am good and the goodness that I am to you and to my nation, to my children. 1 Chronicles 19:13. He says, be of good courage. And let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our Elohim. And let Yahweh do that which is good in his sight. So when you're going through the midst of some situations, he wants you to be courageous and be strong for the sake of your brothers and for your sisters. And not just that, for the sake of the holy city, which is sure to come to us at some point out of our captivity. And Yahweh is going to do what he sees fit to do for his good in his sight, but also for our good. Amen? Psalms 25:8. I'm going to be going through a whole bunch of Psalms, family. Psalms 25:8. And it reads, my brother always says, good and upright is Yahweh. Therefore, he will instruct sinners in the way. How will he instruct sinners in the way? Through us, through his children that are obedient to him. Those people who, when we take certain days off from work, and not just the Shabbat, when we take off for Chag Matzah, when we take off for Shavuot, when we take off for Yom Teruah, when we take off for Yom HaKippurim, when we take off for the first and the last day of Sukkot, when we take off for Shemini Atzeret, when we take off for these days, we are instructing sinners. They know that at a certain time of the year, you'd be surprised where we work at, that know that not to give up his government name, but where they know that Mara'el is my brother, that we are brothers, that we are brothers in the faith. And they come up, hey, when you guys going camping? When you guys going to go do your thing in the woods? I think that's so great that you guys take off and you guys go camping. You stay in the woods. And we say, yeah, why do you guys do that? Well, we keep the festival of Sukkot, which you hear about in the scriptures called tabernacles. So we're instructing them by virtue of our obedience to Abba Yah, that there is a festival that requires you to go out. And a lot of them do this on the regular. Go camping for hunting. Go camping just because it's some recreational activity for them. But they know and understand for a certain span of time, during the fall season, you're not going to see certain brothers walking around there at that hospital. Because they're going to be spending some time fellowshipping together, not for the sake of just going camping, but for the sake of being obedient to not just our Creator, but their Creator also. Hallelujah. Psalms 34:8, and this was the keynote for the lesson. Psalms 34:8. It says, oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in him, that trusteth in him. And I want to look at that word taste. Right? And it's Hebrew 2938. It's in the Hebrew section 2938. And it's ta'am. And it literally means to taste. Figuratively, though, to perceive. To perceive. To perceive. And if you have the ancient Hebrew lexicon of the Bible, look at it. It's the tet, it's the ayin, and the mem, right? And again, to perceive, a distinguishing between flavors. Also, perception as the ability to distinguish between thoughts. Boy, when I tell you, when I read that, Abba convicted me. And he said, see, my thoughts are not your thoughts. See, but look at that and say, oh, taste, and just think, taste, but no. And I'll never forget my brother Dayuel's teaching, and when he talked about Yara'ah and the very distinguishing palate that the brother has. With me, the savage, I'll taste something and be like, yeah, it's good, and just gobble it up. But my brother, if you know him, I taste this, I taste that. Yeah, somebody put too much of this and somebody ain't put enough of that. But he has a very distinguishing palate. See, he's a sophisticated. Unlike me, I'm a savage. I'ma just eat it. Give it to me. Do it taste good? I don't care about all them flavors. I'ma just eat it. Because it tastes good. But that's the beauty of all the brothers within the congregation. Every brother has a little something that he adds to mix into this house of Yahweh. One of the things that I admire about my brother Shabbat El is he never leaves any stone unturned when he's talking. He doesn't assume, unlike me, he does not assume that you already know certain things. So what he likes to do is he likes to go back and say, okay, well, the reason why we do this and the reason why we do that, it's based on this scripture and that scripture and that scripture and that scripture. And he takes his time to make sure that you understand every fine point within there. And that's important. Because unlike me, I should never assume that somebody already knows something, because we don't know who may be listening, who may be tuning in for the first time, who may be showing up for the first time and may not understand that we're the foundation that is being built upon, where the groundwork of it is laid. So that's the beauty of it all. You have some brothers who really go deep into the history of things. You have some brothers who are more in tune to the psychology of things. Why? Because that's where Abba has taken them. Psalms 54:6, family. Psalms 54:6, read. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Yahweh, for it is good. When we sit and we meditate on that, when we think about the multitudes of people who don't know his name, who don't have the honor, who don't have the privilege that we have, that oftentimes we take for granted, that he reveals himself, as my brother stated last night, he revealed himself to a particular people. He took them by the hand. He brought them into his secret chamber. And he got into a relationship with them, intimate with them. The scriptures say, you and only you have I known, Yisrael. And when he said that, he means that. I've never been with another woman. I've never revealed myself to any other woman. You and only you have I known. Now you, on the other hand, what is it that you have done? But I've been a faithful and true mighty one to you. But Yisrael, you have done the whoring. And what is this sacrifice? For years, I'm going to tell you something. For years, I looked for this scripture, family, and could not find it. And you know what? It was right under my nose the entire time. And here it is. What is that sacrifice that he wants from us, family? What is that sacrifice? Back to 33:11. Bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of Yahweh. See, that sacrificial system was never to last forever. It at some point was meant to be done away with, because you know what the sweetest savor to Abba Yah's nose is? When we praise him. When we talk freely about him. When we get together, and when he said, I am there when two or three of y'all decide y'all want to talk about me. He inclines his ear to listen. When we are going about our day to day and we are singing songs of praises to him, we're giving up that sweet savor to him. So every opportunity that you get, brothers and sisters, take an opportunity to just say hallelujah. To glorify his name. Not just in words, but also in deed. Psalms 69, I keep hitting the wrong thing. Psalms 69, 16. And it says, hear me, O Yahweh, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Psalm 73, 28. And again, I'm just asking y'all to walk on this journey that Abba took me on in order to get my mind right. This is important right here, this one. Psalms 73, 28. But it is good for me to draw near to Elohim. I have put my trust in Yahweh Elohim that I may declare all thy works. Let me read that from the WEB to make it a little bit more plain. But it is good for me to come close to Yah. I have made Yahweh my Elohim, my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. So see, when Yahweh puts us through some things, and when you go through this whole, when you go through the entirety of 73, the psalmist was going through some distress, right? This was a soft psalm. And I'm not going to read it. At your convenience, you go through it, right? And at one point, he said his heart was failing him. But he drew near to Yahweh, to his master, to his Lord. He drew near to him, and he took refuge in him. And once he was able to take refuge in him and understand what he was going through, he was able now to declare the good works that his master, his mighty one, had done for him. Psalms. I'm going to be in the Psalms for a little bit, family, so keep your finger there. Psalms 84, 8 through 11. Yahweh, the mighty one of armies, hear my prayer. Listen, the mighty one of Yaakov, Selah. Behold, Elohim, our shield. Look at the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my mighty one than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For Yahweh Elohim is a sun and a shield. Yahweh will give grace and glory. He withholds no good thing from those who walk blamelessly. Amen. Hallelujah. 85:5-12. Still in Psalms, family. 85:5-12. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you draw out your anger to all generations? Won't you revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your loving kindness, your salvation. I will hear what the mighty one Yahweh will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nearest to those who fear reverence Yerahim, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth meet together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs out of the earth. Righteousness has looked down from heaven. Yes, Yahweh will give that which is good. Our land will yield its increase. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Family, that right there is a promise of what is good to come for us after his righteousness, which is Yahushua HaMashiach, comes and prepares the way for his steps. We're just coming out of Sukkot, right? And think of all the beautiful lessons that we learned about what that seven-day journey is about. And what eventually we will receive on that eighth day. Psalms See, we have to walk in the steps of his righteousness path that he has prepared for us to bring us to salvation. Is that not true? What scripture proves that? Well, when our families came out of Egypt, didn't he set a path for us through the sea so that we could cross over to the other side and truly become those Hebrews? Huh? Eber Hayarden, the ones who crossed over through that river. He made a dry path for us to get across to the other side. That's an allegory of things that are sure to come for us when he comes to redeem us. Psalms 92:1. 2:1, sir. A psalm for the Shabbat day. It is a good thing to give thanks to Yahweh, to sing praises to your name, Most High. It is good to give thanks to Yahweh, to sing praises to your name, Elyon, to declare your kindness in the morning and your trustworthy works each night. Hallelujah. Got another one for you. We got a whole gang of songs out of the Psalms. I won't be singing this one. It's my sister's song. Psalms 100. A psalm of thanksgiving. Shout for joy to Yahweh, all you lands. Make a joyful shout to Yahweh. Make a joyful shout to Yahweh. Make a joyful shout, all you lands, shout it out. Make a joyful shout to Yahweh. It's another song. A psalm of thanksgiving. Shout for joy to Yahweh, all you lands. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that Yahweh, he is Elohim. It is he who made us. And we ourselves, I had the lyrics of the song in my mind. And we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For Yahweh is good. His loving kindness endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. Hallelujah. Psalms 106, fam. Like I said, I'm staying a whole lot in the Psalms today. Praise Yahweh. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of Yahweh or fully declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice. Blessed is one who does what is right at all times. Remember me, Yahweh, with the favor that you show to your people. Visit me with your salvation, that I may see the prosperity of your chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers didn't understand your wonders in Egypt. They didn't remember the multitude of your loving kindness, but were rebellious at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Remember, we just went through this history. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their adversary. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They didn't wait for his counsel, but gave in to craving in the desert and tested Yah in the wasteland. He's talking about what we did when Moshe went up into the mountain and they asked for a God. He was taking too long and they said, give us a God. That's what he's talking about. He gave them their request, 106:15, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moshe also in the camp, Yahweh's saint. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. A fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. This is among Israel. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a molten image. Thus they exchanged their glory for an image of a bull that eats grass. They forgot Elohim, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had Moses, his chosen, not stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, so he wouldn't destroy them, so that he wouldn't destroy them. Yes, they displeased the pleasant land. They didn't believe his word, but murmured in their tents and didn't listen to Yahweh's voice. Therefore, he swore to them that he would overthrow them in the wilderness, that he would overthrow their offspring among the nations and scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also to Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. They provoked him to anger with their deeds. The plague broke in on them. Then Phinehas stood up and executed judgment so that the plague was stopped, that they credited to him for righteousness for all generations to come. They angered him also at the waters of Meribah, so that Moshe was troubled for their sakes. But because they were rebellious against his spirit, he spoke rashly with his lips. They didn't destroy the peoples as Yahweh commanded them, but mixed themselves with the nations and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. Yes, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. They shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed to idols of Canaan. The land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their works and prostituted themselves in their deeds. Therefore, Yahweh burned with anger against his people. He abhorred his inheritance. He gave them into the land of the nations. Those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them. They were brought into subjection under their hand. He rescued them many times, but they were rebellious in their counsel and were brought low in their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their distress when he heard their cry. See, we ain't reached that point yet. We ain't reached that rock bottom yet as a nation of people that is still in this captivity. We ain't reached that point yet. But he got to bring us back to that point where we hit rock bottom and we have nowhere else to fall but into Yahweh's hand. Again, 106:44. Nevertheless, he regarded their distress when he heard their cry. He remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his loving kindness. He made them also to be pitied by all those who carried them captive. Hear what he said? He made them also to be pitied by those who carried them captive. Save us, Yahweh, our Elohim. Gather us from among the nations to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be Yahweh, Baruch Atah Yahweh, the mighty one of Yisrael, from everlasting even to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen, Hallelujah. Psalms 107. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Let the redeemed by Yahweh say so, whom he has redeemed from the land, from the hand of the adversary, from the hand of the opponent. So right now, if you have been redeemed from the hand of the opponent, give Yahweh a hallelujah. Clap your hands and shout aloud to him and give praises to his name, because he called you out. He redeemed you. He's like that man who will go around from junkyard to junkyard and will search through that junkyard to find that one little bit of quote unquote junk that he could turn into a treasure. That's who you are to him, family. That's who we are to him, family. And for that, he deserves our praise. Think about your life. Think about the things that you've been through. Think about the things that you have done. Do you feel like you really deserve what he has given to you, this relationship? Do you? But he feels like you deserve it. He finds something that even though sometimes you look at yourself in the mirror and you might not see what you like to see. Just know and understand this. He loves what he sees, especially if you got his son's name tattooed to your soul. Not your flesh, to your soul. 109:21-27. But deal with me, Yahweh, my mighty one, for your name's sake, because your loving kindness is good. Deliver me, for I am poor and needy. My heart is wounded within me. I fade away like an evening shadow. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak from fast, and my body is thin and lacks fat. I have also become a reproach to them. When they see me, they shake their heads. And let this be your cry if you are in distress. Help me, Yahweh, my mighty one. Save me according to your loving kindness, that they may know that this is your hand, that you, Yahweh, have done it. So if you're going through some distress, if you're going through some pain, fast and pray. Make your body thin. Make your body lack that fat. Make your body lack that sustenance that it wants so that Yahweh can do a work with you so that people can see that he is a mighty one worthy of praise by not what you have done, but what he can do with you. Psalms 111:10. I remember in our Jewish days, we used to get up in the morning. This is one of the verses we would say. The fear of Yahweh, Reshit Chokmah, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. All those who do his work have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Psalms 118, family. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Let Yisrael now say that his loving kindness endures forever. Let the house of Aharon say that his loving kindness endures forever. Now let those who fear Yahweh say that his loving kindness endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on Yah. Yah answered me with freedom. Yahweh is on my side. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Yahweh is on my side among those who help me. Therefore, I will look in triumph to those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to put confidence in a man. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to put confidence in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in Yahweh's name, I cut them off. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. In Yahweh's name, I indeed cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They are quenched like the burning thorn. In Yahweh's name, I cut them off. You pushed me back hard to make me fall, but Yahweh helped me. Yah is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. The right hand of Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. I will not die but live and declare Yah's works. Yah has punished me severely, but he has not given me over to death. See, family, you may be going through some punishment. You may be going through some hard time, but you know what? If Yahweh allowed you to open your eyes the next day, then guess what? He's still fighting for you. He's still working for you. He's still being all that he needs to be for you. But are you doing the same for him? 118:19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will enter in them. I will give thanks to Yah. This is the gate of Yahweh. The righteous will enter into it. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save us now. We beg you, Yahweh. Yahweh, we beg you. Send prosperity now. Blessed is he who comes in Yahweh's name. We have blessed you out of Yahweh's house. Yahweh is the mighty one, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. You are my mighty one, and I will give thanks to you. You are my mighty one. I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Psalms 135, family, 135:3. Like I said, we're going to do a whole lot of reading out of the psalm. This is the journey Abiyah took me on. Praise Yah, for Yahweh is good. Sing praises to his name, for that is pleasant. So hallelujah, for Yahweh is good. Sing praises to his name, for that is pleasant. It is pleasant. It is 15. Hallelujah. Toda Abiyah, for the journey that you have led your little children on. Where am I now? I think I lost my place. Forgive me, family. Things got a little crazy. All right, we want. All right, 136:1. Psalms 136:1, and it reads, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Give thanks to the mighty one of mighty ones, for his loving kindness endures forever. Give thanks to the Adonai, the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness endures forever. To him alone does great wonders. To him who alone does great wonders, for his loving kindness endures forever. He can do a great wonder in your life if you let him, if you humble yourself to him. I can tell you from my own personal experience, like everything that I was angry about, upset about, with the situation that was going on with me at work, he put the people in my way. I'm sorry, not in my way, but he put the people in my path that he needed me, that he knew I needed to bring things together. Even though I tried to avoid it at all costs. I walked down the stairs just by happenstance. The person who I was trying to avoid having this meeting with, he put that person right there in my path. So I had no excuse trying to be obstinate. I was trying to be rebellious. I was trying to do it my own way. We're not realizing that sometimes even at work, and especially at work, he is leading and guiding my path. 145:9. Yahweh is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. 147:1. Psalms 147:1. Again, we still in Psalm. We're about to wrap up our journey in Psalms. As a matter of fact, this is it. Hallelujah! For it is good to sing praises to our mighty one. For it is pleasant and fitting to praise him. Hallelujah. Now, Lamentations, family. Last couple of scriptures. Lamentations 3:25. Yahweh is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of Yahweh. Nahum 1:7. Yahweh is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And that was my closing scripture for the day, family. And again, you know, thank you for walking on this journey with me, Abiyah, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for walking on this journey with me. Thank you for listening to a little bit of my story. You know, keep your brother in prayer. Seriously, keep him in prayer, because sometimes, like my brother Mara L. called me out this week when I went to go visit him. You know, he said he recognized that Sean came out. Sean's not a good dude. Ahabel is a much, 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 much better brother than Sean can be. So pray for Ahabel and pray for Sean too. Pray for Sean too. Pray that Sean lets Ahabel rule and not. Hallelujah. All right. Baruch atah Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen, 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 hallelujah. Toda Abiyah for having mercy on this lump of flesh, Father. Thank you for being merciful unto me, Father. And despite the fact, Father, that I'm not worthy and not deserving of it, you've given me another day. And Father, I just ask for me and for all my brothers and sisters, Father, that you give us a heart of humility. Eyes to perceive and ears to understand what you have set before us on some days, Father. And to know that you continually to lead and guide us, Father, that all we have to do, Father, is follow. Humble our hearts. Humble our spirits, Father. Purge those things that are not like you from within us. Purge those things that are not like your Son from within us, Father. Look down upon us with mercy. Look down upon us with favor. Continue to look down upon us with loving kindness, O Father Yah. If for no other reason that we believe in you and that we believe in your Son, Yahushua. Let us be an example, Father, to those, Father, who see us, not for bad, but for good. Let us remember to represent you well in our actions, in our deeds, and in our thoughts, that no one sees nor hears but you. And Father, I pray for my brother Deuel, as he is next up, to be that vessel, to be that tool for you, that you subdue his pain, Father, so that it does not hinder his ability to talk for you. And Father, for some reason, that he is in too much pain to speak, that whoever is going to speak on your behalf today, Father, that you open up their mind, that you part their mouth, Father, so that your word can be spoken through them. I pray for all my brothers. I pray for all my sisters. I pray for all the children. I pray for all the elders, that, Father, you give them what they need in your time, Father, and give them whatever lessons they need to learn, Father, whether it's patience, whether it's understanding, whether it's endurance, that we know, Father, that your love continues to be the most dominant force that you send forth for all of us, Father, even in the midst of chastisement, Father, that you chasten those that you love. Why, Father? Because as any good parent, the only time you bring out the strap is when you want your child to get right. So, Father, help get me right. Help get all of us right, Father, so that we can see and understand what it is, Father, that you are doing with us in our life. And that we just humble ourselves, Father, and be good children. B'Shem Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. Hopefully we'll see each other in a few hours. Yahweh be with you all.
Sit back and easy, remember my ways. Oh, I like it out of my cage. Yes, I am a slave, searching for some freedom, searching for some freedom. So I'm tender, sing them songs to spark memory. What is a man with no history? sugar.